8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Talk to Me here on KnotFest.com. As always, I am Joshua Toomey and joined by the one and only Chris Aitken. Chris, how are we doing?
Awesome, man. What's happening?
Man, I am just living the dream, man. I interviewed Ricky Rackman this week, and that came out, and I will go down fighting for that guy. That's one dude that I watched weekly on Headbangers Ball, and it's funny, like, the older I get, the more I find out that people actually didn't like him back in the day, but everybody kind of in my circles was a big fan.
I was a fan personally, but you're right. A lot of people didn't like it. You know what? Anybody that's famous on TV, everybody hates. They hated Josta after. They hate Eddie Trunk.
Right.
You know, if you get famous on TV for talking about this stuff, they hate you for some reason. But whatever. Ricky's cool. He's actually down the street from me tonight. He's here in town, but I chose Talk to Me instead.
Yeah, he's doing a spoken word tour. I'm curious to see how this goes for him. The 1 Foot in the Gutter tour, which is a great name for a tour.
Sure.
And it's fun. I kind of talked to him in the interview a little bit, but I interviewed him a few years ago, and he was kind of he's very self-deprecating.
Sure.
And he's very, you know, he wants to do a lot of things, but I don't think he puts himself out there for a lot of things. And so back then he was like, I don't understand why Eddie Trunk gets to host everything and you know, the Sirius XM stuff. And, you know, within the last few months, you know, he's going to be on the Headbangers boat. He did like a Sirius XM kind of takeover thing. Like he's doing those things that he wanted to do a few years ago and kind of almost kind of put those out into the ether. And I think the universe is, rewarding him for that.
Sure. Well, look, he's a talented guy that just went away. Why did he go away? I'm sure you've asked him that. Why did he disappear for so long?
Well, we talked a little bit about that, and he was obviously, you know, he left Headbangers Ball in like what, 95, 96, yeah, somewhere there. So it's like there was really no, like, he couldn't just immediately go to the Ricky Rackman podcast or something like that. So he kind of, but he did go to, you know, he was on Loveline for a long time, like a local Loveline type thing. And then doing some local radio. And I think around 2000, he actually punched another DJ in the face and got assault charges and was kind of, persona non grata there for a while.
Right.
He actually talked a little bit about the, on the podcast too, was, you know, he was selling cars for a little while and he was getting the "Aren't you Ricky Rackman" from MTV thing. And he's like, "Yes, I am. Would you like to buy this Hyundai?" Type stuff.
Yeah, I'll put a Faster Pussycat tape in there if you buy it today.
And then, you know, he did motorsports for like 20 years, and he actually said that he had like a rock and racing weekly radio show for like 19 years that just ended. And you know, now he's doing the Cat House podcast and all that stuff, and kind of delving back into the world of being Ricky Rackman. But yeah,
sure. Like,
and I was a fan of Ricky, and I didn't know anything about any of this other stuff.
Yeah,
until his Cat House podcast came out, and he kind of broke down, like, you know, where have you been?
Well, I'm hearing it all first right now. So, you know, I didn't know, and I liked him. I was a fan. The thing I like best about Ricky is he seems like he's one of us.
Yeah.
Like he never became like the other guy that's out there now.
Yeah.
You know, that's all, well, when I'm here in my house in Las Vegas, Rackman always just seems like, dude, you got to hear this new song by band X or what, you know, he's still a metal guy. He's still just one of us, which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, even in our chat, he was going on and on about Amon Amarth and, you know, talking about, you know, I'll see him post about even stuff about like My Chemical Romance and things like that, you know, things that are more my wheelhouse, but
sure.
You know, I enjoy guys that as they age, they still look for new bands. Like I got a buddy of mine who's a couple of years older than me. He's like what, 48-ish. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was at the Wage War A Day to Remember show the other day, sending me footage of that and sending me footage of bands. And he's just one of those dudes that didn't stop listening to corn and then nothing, you know, anything else new was bad. It's like he's been consistently like sending me bands to check out and typically are good bands.
Few and far between, my friend. You're about to, as you get older, you start seeing all your friends start listening to country or whatever garbage they're listening to. I hate it. It's like, it's one of the reasons I don't go to like reunions and stuff.
Yeah.
Because people start talking to me and they're like, oh, you still listening to that heavy metal stuff?
Right.
I am. You know, and they're like, I like heavy metal. Van Halen. It's like, no, that's not heavy metal. Not even close.
Well, we know we've talked about it here on the show some. I mean, there was that period of time where I was working a lot and it was post, you know, doing anything in the music business. There was like there's a period of time where if you put out an album in like 2011, I probably didn't know about it, even if it was one of my favorite bands, just because I fell out of the loop. And obviously starting the show and doing this podcast weekly, you know, you know, my inbox is full of new bands and people are, you know, obviously always telling me about bands and things like that. So yeah, I definitely understand their period of time where you kind of quote unquote grow up and try to do, you know, a regular job and maybe not paying as close attention to a lot of things as much as you and I, you know, obviously pay way too much attention to, you know, all this metal stuff going on.
I don't know. I don't think I ever had that moment. The only time I had it, honestly, was there was a period for about 3 years. I used to have a music website called Pit Riff.
Yeah.
That was
great name, by the way.
Thanks. It was kind of like a blabbermouth sort of a thing, news, and I did reviews and, you know, stuff like that on it. And when I finally quit, I quit doing that at the same time I had just sold my print magazine that I had, like right before that. And I just was done. I just was like, I don't want to talk about music anymore. I don't want to listen to music anymore. And I didn't for about 3 years. And then I slowly got myself back in it. And then the first thing I did was went back to those 3 years and started listening to just crazy amounts of music from those 3 years that were still all new to me. So I think I'm caught up now.
As we record, Ben, this is actually when this is released, I believe, is the anniversary of Dimebag's death. I kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit about, like, where were you when you heard that Dimebag had been murdered in Columbus, Ohio?
I was asleep. My friend Kurt, I remember exactly where I was. My friend Kurt called me at like 5:30 in the morning, and he's like, dude, you aren't going to believe this shit. And I was like, what? And he's like, Dimebag's dead. And I was like, what do you mean Dimebag's dead? And he's like, yeah, man, he got shot down at El Rosa. And I was like, get the fuck out. You know, I was absolutely just not even believing it. And then I turned on like the news, and it really wasn't on the news. You know, it wasn't quite big enough of a story for like Good Morning America or any of that shit. You know, so it wasn't really on the news, but so I went to work and I'm listening to the radio. I was listening to probably Opie and Anthony or whatever, and they weren't really talking
Rover's Morning Glory.
I was not listening to that. I can tell you that now, but, you know, they were actually on the station that I was on, and I'll get to Rover in a minute, 'cause he's part of this story.
Right.
So I was on my way to work, and I was listening to radio and nobody's really talking about it on the station I was listening to. And then I got a call from Rover's producer, and they were like, you heard about Dimebag, right? And I was like, yeah. And I was doing the metal show on the same station. And so they were like, they knew that I had this audio of Dimebag that I had just done. I had just done this interview with Dimebag. And, you know, we didn't leave my partner, Matt, and I, we didn't leave audio anywhere. So they were like, well, we want to play the audio. And I was like, okay. And I had the audio in my car. So I went and I got the audio and I, you know, got it over to them. And then I had to go on the radio and talk about Dimebag while I was at my jobby job. You know, then all, you know, bosses are all mad at me and shit because I'm like, oh, I'm going to take my lunch at 9:10,
right?
You know, cause I had to go sit in my car on my phone to do the interview talking about the death of Dimebag. But yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday, man. Very, very sad. Very, it just sucked.
Yeah. I had, a few months before Dime died, I had gotten some really good intel, like believable intel, that Phil had died. Like, not this isn't connected to drug overdose or whatever. This was, I mean, well, it might be connected to drug overdose, but it wasn't the big one that happened in, you know, years and years ago.
Sure.
This was only a few months before Dime had was taken from us. And so when I heard the news, I texted everybody, oh my God, Phil Anselmo's dead. And then obviously he wasn't dead.
Sure.
So I felt like a complete ass. So I heard that about the Dimebag shooting probably soon after it happened. Like, it was quick. Like, I got a text quick, and I didn't tell anybody. And I was living in an apartment that, like, it had a community center that had like this was what, 2004.
Yeah.
So it had like high speed internet, but it was only in the clubhouse or something.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, that whole thing where the laundromat and the clubhouse and the workout area or whatnot. And so I go down to this little lab or whatever. And I'm like basically on like CNN or on all the news, just hitting refresh.
Right.
Because I didn't want to say anything until like I knew. And then all of a sudden, man, it pops up. It was just like, it's like a gut punch, man. It was, and it's fine. I've told the story before, but I Primer played the Alla Rosa.
Sure.
And I was sitting out, this was like 2002, and I was sitting outside in the little patio area, and they had these fences outside that were just leaned in real far, like just dilapidated fence.
Yeah. Well, it's a shit neighborhood it was. So.
And I was joking at the time. I was like, man, if anybody wanted to sneak into a show for free here, you just got to get a running start and jump that fence. And if I'm not mistaken, that's kind of how he got in. That's kind of
what he did, yeah.
And hopefully he wasn't there when I said that. No. But yeah, like just the whole night, man, just crazy to hear that somebody like with that much personality and that much just life, you know, kind of taken from us, man. And what is that now, 19 years ago?
That's crazy. It's been forever ago, man. But I'm telling you, man, it just...
18 years
ago. It was one of the scariest things for me. I mean... Any other time I would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went and saw Pantera where whenever Pantera was close to me, I saw Pantera like 35, 40 times.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, they were one, I'm not a travel guy, as you're well aware, but Pantera is a band I would travel for and did. I would always go see them when they would come here. I'd go see them here in Pittsburgh, Columbus, maybe stretch to Cincinnati. You know, I would go see Pantera wherever they were. I would go see them. And quite honestly, the only reason I wasn't in the El Rosa that night was because I didn't like the Damage Plan record.
No.
You know, I just didn't love it. And I was like, I'm not going to travel. You know, it was like a Wednesday night or whatever night of it was during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to travel on a work night, you know, 2.5 hours down, 2.5 hours back and try and go A, drive home drunk, which I would have done, and B, because I knew those guys. I mean, dude, you can go listen to the interview that I did with them. The final interview that I did, it's on YouTube. If you listen to it, you can hear me and those guys just fucking around, me and Dime and Vinny and Pat and Bob Zilla. You know, we're just fucking around having some fun. I know I would have got down there, had a bunch of drinks and drove home.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I'm going to get home at 3:00 in the morning. I got to be at work at 6:30 in the morning. That's going to be tough, you know? And I just didn't go because I really didn't like the record enough to go down there and do it. And then, you know, and then obviously the world blew up,
Yeah. Luckily, it was in August. They played here in Louisville, and it was kind of the same thing. I almost didn't go. I just luckily had a couple of friends that were like, dude, come on, let's go. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't, kind of the same thing. I didn't really care to see Damage Plan. And then thankfully I went, they closed the show with A New Level and Walk.
Nice.
I think Dime was the one that was just like, thanking everybody for coming out and also kind of threw out a jab of like, you know, it's not our fault we're not playing these songs with the other guys type stuff on stage.
Right.
And they finished with A New Level and Walk, and then they were out by the buses after the show, and And I, you know, told that a few times too, and got to go and talk to Dime a little bit and
sure.
you know, thank him. It was a very bizarre in retrospect conversation, you know, thanking him for all the music and all the inspiration and telling him that I got to tour in a band and blah, 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 you know, just all that stuff. Because I first met Dime in August of 94. Mm-hmm. The last time I talked to him was August of 2004. Like right. 10, it was almost 10 years exactly.
Right.
From the time that I first met him to the time that, you know, the last time I spoke to him, and, you know, 10 years, and those 10 years were very formative of, you know, getting into Pantera, getting into a band, getting on sure. tour, all that stuff. And then, so by the time I saw him in 2004, being able to just kind of like say, thank you for the inspiration. And this is what I got to do. And he was pumped and I was pumped. And, you know, sure. It was just awesome to talk to him that night.
Hell yeah, dude, they were so much fun. I mean, I am one of the rare few that can say that his favorite band ever, he was also friends with. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I mean, I was definitely friends with Dime. I was definitely friends with Vince. I'm still pretty friendly with Phil. I don't talk to him as much as I used to, but I'm still pretty friendly with Phil. And I mean, like, Phil did that real nice little video for my book and stuff, right. which was pretty cool. You know, I mean, it's just cool. It's one thing. I mean, you and I do this. We talk to a zillion million bands.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you're talking to them. It's another thing when you're boys.
Yeah.
You know, it's another thing when it's Anselmo calling on the phone going, hey, brother, why don't yeah. you come down to Horrorcore? We're going to have a big festival this year, you know, and just invite you to come down. It's like, I'll send you some tickets, man. Just come on down, you know.
Yeah.
Phil was always like that. And Dime was always super cool. And I, dude, even the very last interview that I did, I kind of annoyed Dime by reading him back some of the shit that Phil had said.
Right.
And after the thing, he was like, he wanted to have a Karate Kid kick fight with me. You know, he's like, yeah. You got to pay for that. I was like, okay. And he did. He climbed up on a speaker, made me climb up on a speaker. We booted each other.
Yeah.
You know, it was the craziest shit. You know, and but it was just cool to be friends with those guys. And I hate that it is where it is now. You know, I, like every Pantera fan, I don't care what you think of the reunion or the tour or tribute or whatever the fuck we're calling this thing.
Yeah.
I hate that it ain't with Dime and Vince, you know, but at the same time, you can't take those memories. And every truly great memory, or most of the truly great memories that I have
yeah.
of music stuff, is with Pantera, whether it's concerts or whether it's partying with them. Or, you know, the biggest thing I ever did ever in my life was this meet and greet thing that we did for Pantera. Mm-hmm. And we expected, like, I don't know, a few hundred people would come out to this thing, and 3,000 people showed up. Wow. And literally, they came, so many people came. They only did the town we were in. We didn't even ask for permits because we didn't think it was going to be any deal. They lined up around the building that we were in. Then they lined up around a bank so that the bank had to close because there was so many people that were there. They only had two cops,
yeah,
two cops for 3,000 people because they didn't know. They didn't yeah. know. We didn't know. And it was just insanity. People were chanting. People were banging on windows, and people were drinking in line. And some guys tore off a bike rack to take it into the building to get signed by Pantera. I mean, it was fucking nuts. Yeah. But it was one of the coolest things I've ever been involved in. And those guys were right in the middle of it, you know, being a part of it and having fun. I have a lot of Pantera stories. I definitely have a Pantera book I should write.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're Mr. Book. So yeah, you definitely need to write that, man. we'll dive into the Pantera shows that have sure. happened now. But real quick, you know, talking about your favorite band being your friends or whatnot. I mean, mm-hmm. I clipped it and threw it on YouTube of Ricky. I asked him if he had a few more minutes or whatever. And he goes, man, I made sure you were the last interview of the day because I really enjoyed talking to you. And I'm like, that's fucking the guy that I was when I was 13 years old sure. was on TV, you know, telling me how cool, you know, Morbid Angel was. And now he's like, oh, I made sure you were the last interview of the day so because I enjoy talking to you. I was like,
geez. Nice. That's awesome.
So, yeah. What was that Friday night that the show happened?
Yeah, Friday night, last Friday. This first show.
So yeah, we're starting to, you know, I think we woke up Friday morning. There was some sound check footage that was, you know, first off, this is just a disclaimer. If you're going to film some stuff for your YouTube channel or you're sneaking a thing, don't sing.
Do not sing.
Like, just film it. Like, I, you know, because I was watching the, I think they sound checked like Cowboys from Hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you're trying to hear for Phil, because Phil is what I was most worried about with this whole
right.
thing. And I'm trying to listen for Phil, and all I hear is like, come to the Cowboys from Hell. You know, like the guy filming, the guy sneak filming fucking rehearsal footage was singing along. I'm like, dude.
Yeah, it's like, shut up.
But that sounded awesome, so I was pumped for it. And then you know, a few people went live. What was that, New Mexico? Like the Heaven and Hell Fest in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And a few people went live on you know, YouTube and Facebook and whatnot. So I was watching some I think, you know, you were watching the same footage. Sure. You know, the audio was really bad, but you could kind of tell what was going on. And I was, you know, you and I were texting back and forth like school kids, you know, like, dude, I'm so pumped now. But like the stage show, I you know, they must be listening to the Talk To Me podcast over there at Pantera headquarters, because, you know, logo was on fire. The lights were going off. The band sounded great. I think, you know, Charlie's using either triggers or something to sound very much like Vinny's kit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought, I was like happy for Rex and Phil, man. Phil sounds great. Like,
yeah, he sounds as good as he has in years,
you know, and I'm completely blown away by the whole thing.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
The only thing was there's a few times where I was kind of wondering where, you know, Zach was kind of playing the solo, but not playing the solo. But now that I've seen some better footage here and there, he's still not playing dime solos to a T, which I'm going to give him a break for. You know, that's the first show. I know they didn't rehearse very much, and that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of solos and a lot of notes to learn, I guess. But the second show I watched, that kind of popped up today as we're recording, you know, seems like it's coming together, man. I think by the time it, you know, gets a few shows in, I think it's going to sound amazing.
Yeah. By the time they come in 14 months or whatever it is to my show, they should have it down.
That 2024 Metallica show, it should be good, man. You know, it's funny. Someone posted something about Zach, and there's a photo of Zach, and he's, you know, the vest and the jeans and everything, and everybody's like, something's not right about it. And someone finally goes, it's the jeans.
Yeah, he's not wearing a kilt.
I was like, that's exactly what it is, man. He's not wearing a kilt. Like, he's wearing a pair of jeans, and it made him look so much different. But I'm digging it, man. I was when I was watching the footage today of last night's show or the night before his last show, I think I'm enjoying the fact that it's, you can tell it's Zach playing. And Zach is kind of playing the riffs the way Zach would play them.
Yeah.
He's not really copying dime. He's kind of just being himself. And I think I enjoy that more than him trying to be dime.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think it would suck if he was just trying to note for it. It wouldn't have any feeling to it. If it, and let's be honest. I mean, you saw Pantera a bunch of times, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you saw him several times. I saw him a bunch of times.
I think I saw him about 15 times.
Yeah. So you never saw him play not one song note perfect.
Right.
That wasn't Dime's style. Dime's style was to just kind of, you know, play, you know, and have fun. And he would play what he was feeling at that moment. And I mean, yeah, there are some signature parts of his solos. And I thought Zach was pretty close on capturing that stuff. Yeah. But for the very most part, Zach was doing what Dime used to do, which is just get out there and play into what he was feeling. He's a different guy. And let's face it, Zach can't win no matter what he does. Zach is the guy that's just going to get fucked over no matter what.
Yeah.
If he played this stuff note perfect, people would say, see, he's just up there ripping off dime. People would say that. Half of the people would be like, no, this isn't good. He's just ripping off dime. You know, it's the same with the guitars. Half the people are bitching that he's not playing Dimebag's guitars.
Right.
And he's playing his own guitars. And, well, how can that sound like dime? If it, you know, and then the other people are... If he switches up to dime guitars, those people will be like, see, he has to mimic the great Dimebag. It's like, dude, just shut up. I don't know about you, if you're following some of these Pantera groups on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
A little bit.
If you're in one of these groups and you're bitching, go fuck yourself with a fucking Dimebag Dean, okay?
Yeah.
Just shut up and enjoy the fucking shows. Oh my God, everybody is so bitch. They're doing nonstop bitching about the guitar sound, bitching if it is really Pantera or not, and bitching about the prices that apparently they didn't take the time to read about. You know, they just saw the Metallica most expensive packages,
right?
And they're bitching that they can't afford that. That's what every single person is doing in these groups, and it's making me nuts. It's like, can't you guys just fucking enjoy the fact that 22 years later, or whatever it is, we're getting these songs finally?
Yeah.
You know, and performed well, even if it isn't as well as you want. You can't argue that these songs are not being performed at a high, high level, as right. high a level as they've been since time passed.
Yeah, I think that Zach is killing it. I think Charlie, you know, I've never really kind of gone out on a limb and said this, but I mean, Charlie's not one of my favorite drummers. Like I've never been a giant Anthrax fan. I like Anthrax. I will go see Anthrax if they come sure. through town, but of the big four, you know, I could, you mm-hmm. know, they're definitely four, and they're always the band that I'm like, if you could drop them for Testament and all sure. that stuff, like Anthrax, sure. not one of my favorite bands.
Okay. You know,
I've owned stuff over the years and whatnot, but Charlie's just never been one of my favorite drummers. Like yeah, sure. I see him pop up on lists all the time. So I was kind of nervous about him being the drummer in this, but I think he's absolutely nailing it. I think he's the one that when everybody's talking about the stuff, like he's putting out the quotes of, you know, that was the most nervous I've ever been. And that was, you sure. know, just scared to death to do anything wrong. Like he's taking these shows to heart. Obviously he's a huge Pantera fan.
Oh yeah.
And he, you know, obviously a big fan of, or a big friend of Vinny's. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I think he's definitely taking this one to heart.
I think he is. And the thing that's different is he's playing differently.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever seen Anthrax, which you have, mm-hmm. Charlie's a soft hitter. I mean, yeah. He's never been the guy that crushes his drum heads. He's always been kind of soft. And I don't mean soft like the sound is soft. I yeah. just mean that he's not a guy that like kills his drum kit. But to have that Pantera sound, you got to be swinging for the fences. Right. And I mean, I know, yeah, they're triggering it or whatever they're doing to his drums to capture that Vinnie Paul sound, but he's playing a hell of a lot harder than I've ever seen him play with Anthrax. And it's cool. Look, I have no bitches about it. I think everybody's playing well. Even Rex, who, you know, I do not like, you know, I can't say nothing, but you know, in some of the songs where they're kind of bass heavy, he has sounded great.
Oh yeah, he's always been a fantastic bass player. I know you're sure. not the biggest fan of him personally, but yeah, no. I think he's a monster player. Yeah,
he's a great player.
A funny thing, the looking at your screen here, the CFHs behind you mm-hmm. On the stands or whatever, my old boss's husband made those, and I didn't know it. Like a guy named Dean Tomasek.
Okay.
I worked for his wife Terry in Nashville, and Chris Sinzak of Decibel Geek actually posted Dean's photo of it, and I was like, I told my wife, I was like, Terry's husband made the CFH, nice. You know,
made it for this tour.
Yeah,
the great.
That's yeah, cool. Made those exact ones that are on your screen there. So
sure.
Melissa was like, "Are you going to get him on the show?" And I'm like, "I might."
Yeah. Might as well. Everybody else is getting Pantera love because they've met the guys once or twice.
Everybody's got a story, man. What did you think of the set? Well, there's 12 songs. We'll kind of run through it real quick. A New Level, Mouth for War, Strength Beyond Strength, Becoming, I'm Broken, 5 Minutes Alone, This Love, Fucking Hostile, and an encore of Planet Caravan, Walk, Cowboys from Hell, and then Domination/Hollow.
Well, I'm hoping by the time they come here that we get in some Far Beyond or some Trendkill music.
You know. I think this was the Monterey Metal Festival because I know they did Yesterday Don't Mean Shit at Mexico show.
And they also did what did they do? They did something from Trendkill on the first show. The one yesterday they did not play anything from the last two records. And I mean, as long as they give me a couple of songs from Trendkill, I'm fine. I certainly get that Phil can't do a lot of those, you know, I mean, he didn't do them when they did them. When they did the album, they had Seth from Anal Cunt that came in and did a lot of those screams for Phil, you know? So, you know, I get that they can't do all of it, but I would like to hear, I don't know, War Nerve or something. You know, sorry, Suicide Note, one or two or both.
Right. Do you like they did back in the day, play Suicide Note Part 1 over the PA and then
blast off.
Yeah, because let's see here. Pantera in Mexico was a new level, Mouth for War, Stringing Beyond Strength, Becoming with Throes of Rejection outro, I'm Broken with By Demons Be Driven outro, Use My Third Arm, 5 Minutes Alone, This Love, Yesterday Don't Mean Shit, Fucking Hostile, A Cemetery Gates, Tribute to Diamond Vinny, Planet Caravan cover, Walk, Cowboys from Hell, and then Domination Hollow.
Yeah. My bet of the two nights, the best thing that made me happy was when I saw Use My Third Arm mixed in there.
Yeah.
Because that is by far my favorite Pantera tune. And and that it was in the first night, I was like, oh hell yes, this is gonna rule when they come here.
Yeah. I you know, no complaints with the set. I think it, you know, it kind of hits all the, you know, hits everything that you need to hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if they're doing, I'm kind of curious to see when they have the headlining show coming up, them and Sepultura, at some point soon. So I'm kind of curious to see how expansive the set gets and if they actually, you know, do some, maybe some crazy deep cuts or, you know,
well, the thing right now is they might not know them. You know, I mean, honestly,
true.
I mean, Charlie's never toured with, I mean, he's got a whopping 2 shows under his belt. Same with Zach,
yeah.
You know, and let's face it. It's not like they were even playing them, you know, like riffing, playing a lot of the deep cuts. I mean, even when both of those bands were notorious for mixing in some Pantera into their sets, whether it's with BLS or Anthrax, but it's always common stuff.
Yeah.
It's always Cowboys from Hell or, you know, Mouth for War or stuff like that. It's never been, Hard Lines and Sunken Cheeks or any, you know, something right. crazy. So they may just not know them. And I don't know, I'm going to throw out a slight criticism, and it's a very slight criticism, and it's probably
okay.
not even necessary, but I feel like Charlie and certainly Zach might've put more time into being ready for this thing. I think Charlie's playing well, but I think, you know, just his reactions, I guess, make it sound like he's scared, which means that he's not confident in what he's doing.
Yeah.
And
he's been in Anthrax for 40 years, you know what I'm saying? And it's not like I don't really know of it too many other bands that he's toured in. I don't think he's toured in anything else really. So, I mean, you know, this is outside of his comfort zone. You know, the very, very small scale, you know, put me up on stage with my band that I grew up in and I can knock those tunes out. No problem. If, you know, one of my favorite bands of all time comes along and says, hey, Toomey, we need a bass player for these shows, I'm going to be shitting bricks. You know, it's like,
but I think if you knew for 6 months, you would have rehearsed every song known to man. If Korn said, hey, we need a bass player next May, you would do nothing but listen to Korn and play Korn.
There's still no matter how many times I rehearse that song, there's still like, oh shit, I'm about to walk on stage with Korn. Oh shit, everybody's gonna be filming it. Oh shit, you know, like there's gonna be like the 37 oh shit moments on the way to the stage.
Sure.
Yeah, and then again, there's also that whole thing of there's that whole thing of no matter how many times you rehearse it as you're walking the stage, you're gonna be I do that thing where you're like, I forgot the whole thing. I don't even know how to play bass. I don't even know what a bass looks like at this point.
Right. And again, I guess maybe I am being a little harsh now that I'm thinking about it, because let's face it, first time they're getting on stage as a band together is in front of 50,000 people or something too. Yeah. It's not like it's in front of 800 people or something. It's in front of a massive crowd.
Well, it's 50,000 people there, and then you know how many people are watching it around the world because everybody's tuned into those live streams I was watching, you know, had thousands of people watching those. And I'm sure the YouTube videos are probably, you know, thousands of videos of that. Mm-hmm. Somebody, I don't know who, you know, the name of it or whatever, but they took, basically they pulled from all these different angles and everything else. And I've already put together like a pretty decent, you know, set. If you want to watch the whole set, you know, from start to finish.
Yep. I did watch that. I did watch it. And however they put that together, bravo to them. Cause that's really solid.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. The did you like the kind of the Diamond Vinny montages and things like that?
Yeah, I mean it's appropriate. It's appropriate without overdoing it, which is Phil's in a weird position with this thing.
Yeah.
Because he knows what everybody thinks. or not everybody, but he knows what half of the audience thinks,
yeah,
which is that he's somewhat responsible. That myth is never going to go away. You know, to me, it's a myth. To somebody else, I'm sure we'll get comments by me calling it a myth. Yeah. They'll be like, fuck that, Phil's part. Phil did it. It's all Phil's fault. He encouraged Gail to kill him. You know, that's what's going to happen. You know, it just is. But so he's in a weird spot. He's been pretty true since Dime passed, saying about, you know, he had nothing but love, and, you know, and their business differences were just business differences, and it never affected the brotherhood and blah, blah, blah. He's in a tough spot doing this. And if he overdoes it, people will think it's corny and cheesy. If he underdoes it, then people are going to think that he's just stealing the Pantera name for himself. So he's in a weird spot. I think it's cool. You know, I think they're doing it with as much respect as they can give it. That being said, Charlie needs to shut up, or which whoever said it. I don't know if it's Charlie or Zach or who. Whoever said about recording new music, they need to stop that talk, because that will be the most disrespectful.
Yeah, I haven't seen the full quote. It's from Charlie, but I think it was more of a... It was probably an answer to something more than something actually being talked about.
Yeah. They need to not do that.
Yeah.
Or if they do it, just call it something obvious. Call the band like Black Sabbath did.
Yeah.
When Black Sabbath called themselves Heaven and Hell.
Yeah.
Everybody knew it was Black Sabbath, but it was, you know, I think theirs was more contractual than anything else, but out of respect for what Pantera was, just call it Cowboys from Hell. Everybody will know what it is.
Right.
You can still play all Pantera songs, and you can play a couple of new songs along the way, and everybody will be on board. Be smart.
Yeah. And I think a band of Phil, Rex, Zach, and Charlie, no matter what you call it, you know, that's going to be cool. Like, it's going to be cool to check that out, whatever they come up with. Yeah. But yeah, if they put it up under the Pantera name, man, that's going to be tough.
Yeah,
that's
if you put out a Pantera song without Dimebag and Vinny on it,
yeah,
that is going to cause a mutiny. You know, dude, as it is, the fans right now, the fans, the message board dicks,
yeah,
are at a mutiny level right now. Half of them hate this thing. Half of them love the thing. So, you know, to put out music, oof, that would not go, that would be pretty ugly. It would probably sound good, but it'd be ugly.
I did want to bring a new segment to the show. It's called What Rockers Think of the Pantera Reunion. Bow, 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 bow. Do, 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 do. Paul Stanley says the new Pantera lineup is killing it. Dimebag and Vinnie Paul would be proud.
Ooh. Well, if Paul Stanley said it, well, people, it's going to be great, people.
People. Paul Stanley tweeted, thrilled to see Phil, Rex, and Pantera back killing it. Zach and Charlie clearly did their homework with love and commitment. Pantera did shows with us years ago and were ferocious and explosive. Others tried, but nobody could be them. Diamond Vinny would be proud.
Boy, how bad must Kiss have been blown off the stage by Pantera? Jesus.
Yeah, that was I couldn't even imagine, like, trying to go on after Pantera, even if you are Kiss.
Dude, you said that to me when we were texting back and forth on Friday. We kept seeing the little banner that, like, Scorpions were up next.
Yeah, good luck, and Scorpions.
You just text me, you're like, good luck, Scorpions. I was like, oh boy, you ain't lying there.
Crazy about this. I mean, I do get that they're kind of dipping their toes in the water and they, you know, maybe don't want to headline right out the gates or whatnot. But man, I just don't understand why any bands are going on after this.
Ugh,
and now, now more than ever.
Can you imagine Scorpions coming on after Pantera and doing like Tease Me, Please Me or something? Oh my God. People would be booing and throwing stuff at them.
Yeah. That's just too funny. So do you think Paul Stanley, there's some, underlying, like, see, two original members of the band can go out with two fill-in guys and the band's okay, like, you know, trying to make sure it's okay that he and Gene are still out there with
kind of fill-in
dudes, you know.
Of course he'll definitely side with the hey, have no members, it's fine, as long as I'm getting paid. You know, I'm sure if there was any way he could get paid for the Pantera thing, he'd have talked him into doing it years ago, him and Gene.
Yeah, Paul, yeah, definitely. Now that's the thing. We need a Pantera with no original members.
Could happen. It's gonna happen, man. With Kiss.
I don't know if you saw or not. I created a nice little stir on Facebook the other day when I said that from now on, any band that has less than one original member, that's what, or less than three,
you said less than three original members,
I will now call a tribute band. And oh man, people were either 100% on board with me or like, you are a fucking idiot.
All right. Here's my question, dude. No. Does it matter anymore?
No.
Now really that doesn't. MTV is dead and we're not seeing the people like daily, does it matter? If the songs are good and somebody that wrote some of those songs is up there, do you really care?
Yeah. My comment was, I will now be calling any band that is missing more than one original member a quote unquote tribute. You all need to stop it.
Yeah.
And then I said, Seven Dust is the only band that's allowed to tour.
And Aerosmith.
I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, right now they're kind of back and forth on their drummer, but yeah, I mean, you know what I'm getting at.
And
you
too.
And well, yeah, the drummer from U2 just said if they tour there, he's not going to go out.
Oh really?
I pulled that one out of nowhere, but I mean, like Clutch can tour and Seven Dust can tour, but any other band, even Metallica, stay home. Like,
yeah.
Like don't even think about it because you know, no Dave Mustaine, no Cliff Burton, no Ron McGovney, no Metallica.
That's right.
But speaking of that, you and I both got Metallica tickets.
Yes.
Mine were a little bit more expensive than yours, I do believe. But I think we both got we both underpaid what we thought we were going to pay.
Yeah. Where are you seats or standing?
We got seats in the lower bowl.
Okay.
Let me see.
In where? St. Louis?
Yeah, we got the St. Louis show. You got what? Detroit?
I got Detroit. Yep.
I'm gonna. All right, so yeah, so you got you're November 10th and 12th.
No, and I'm November 10th.
Well, yeah. Well, and I'm November 3rd and 5th, so I can go ahead and do some some surveillance for you and see there what's going on.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's November 3rd and 5th. We it's kind of like she was like, I was like, are we staying for the night too? You know, are we going to stay in St. Louis? St. Louis is, I think, about 4.5 hours from here.
Okay.
So it's not too bad. I mean, I really don't want to drive back and forth twice, but right. We'll probably make a little weekend out of it and beautiful St. Louis, you know, the gateway to the West.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm kind of in the same, I'm in the boat of if night one, if it's good enough, I might just turn around and come home. But you got, what was yours? Like 125 for the tickets?
Yeah, 125 after the fees.
Okay. Like
total cost. And I'm in the middle bowl.
Okay.
I'm in the middle. I'm in Ford Field, section 319.
Yeah.
So it's kind of on the side.
Okay.
But I guess on the side, it's in the round. So I guess there's no real side, but it's not the quote unquote front. And it's section 319 on an aisle. And it was 125 after fees. So not bad.
It says the Dome. I'm assuming that's where the Rams used to play, where we're going. And we got end zone seats, about 10 to 15 rows up.
Okay.
For after fees was 3.25 a piece.
All right. So you're on the same, probably the side like I am, the quote unquote side, but dude, does it matter? I mean, honestly, as long as you're there, does it matter?
Right. Yeah, no, I called somebody asked me how much the tickets were, and I was like, they were cheaper than a new set of tires.
Yeah.
You know, and, but I called the wife before they went on sale, and I was like, how much can I spend? She's like, do not put this on me. I was like, what's my budget? She's like, do not ask me this question. So,
right. Well, dude, answer this question because I've been, I texted you. I got my first ever viral TikTok video.
I heard
it's
about
over
that,
over 20,000 views or whatever now.
Nice. Are you
it was just me saying on something that I think the second night they're going to be playing to half empty stadiums. I honestly think that half the people, at least half of the audience, will not come back for the second night. I just don't think that the crossover audience from Pantera fans to Five Finger fans is big.
Yeah, you got to kind of wonder, like, I guess the, obviously the draw being Metallica, you know, how, but, you know, same with you and same with me, same with a lot of people are traveling for these shows.
Right.
So you've got to get that extra hotel room in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, tip, and most likely you've got to get, these are what, Friday, Sunday type things?
Friday, Sunday, yeah. So
you, so you got to, most people will probably go Thursday and then have to check out on Monday. You know, so you've got to do, you've got to do hotels each night.
Yeah. Three nights of hotels, 2 days off of work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of expense outside of the actual tickets themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm really like, for me personally, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to go up. I'm going to go to lovely Detroit. It's a fine city. Right. And I will get in my car and drive home that night. Because even if I leave, if the show ends at 11, I'll probably get out of the parking lot by 12. I'll be home by like 3 a.m.
Right.
Which I'm always up at 3 a.m. So that shouldn't be that big of a deal. You know, that's not that big of a deal. Am I going to drive back 2 more days later to see Five Finger, Ice Nine Kills and
a different set?
And a different set of Metallica? No. I'm just, and it's nothing against those bands. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Ice Nine Kills and Five Fingers. Okay, I guess, you know, they're take it or leave it band for me. But the second night of with Metallica, all right, I've seen Metallica 50 freaking times.
Right. Well, you know, you've also, that actually, I just looked it up. St. Louis from here is 3 hours, 45 minutes. So yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, not bad.
The only thing I'm thinking, and if people are listening this far into the episode and are going to the St. Louis show, I was thinking like that Saturday night, like just doing a meetup, like doing a talk to me meetup or something. I'm assuming there's got to be something going on that Saturday in between in all of these cities that, you know, you're dumb if you're a local promoter or something that's not putting on something.
I would hope that the Metallica tribute band in every city is fired up on those Saturdays.
Right.
Because they will make a ton of money in whatever bar they're going to play.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you'll go, right? If you're staying in St. Louis and there's a, I don't know, Battery, the Metallica tribute band, you're going, right?
Yeah. A Metallica tribute band or even Pantera. Like a bar that's doing a, you know, big four night or something, you know, and just having, you know, just a metal night at a club, anything like that. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Like, so, I mean, it's a year away, but if we start putting something together and doing a dinner or something, you meet at the Buffalo Wild Wings for all I care, but you know, just something getting some fans together and just kind of doing a hangout. Because when I posted, I was going to St. Louis. I mean, there were a bunch of people that were like, oh, I got my ticket there too. And I don't know if those people are close by or not, but I mean, we can, you know, do something, get 10, 12, 15, 20 people into, you know, go have some drinks or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that sound.
See, there you go.
Well, you're going to have to catch me coming into Detroit because I promise you I will not be there in the day in between. No chance.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Chris Aiken meetup will be in the parking lot 30 minutes prior to the gates opening.
Right.
But yeah, man, I'm pumped, and tickets were actually cheaper than what I thought. And you know, $325 is crazy, but it's really, if you want to look at it, $175. And you know, if you want to do all the math and stuff, and you know, we were on here like proclaiming that we would pay $500 to see them so you know, paying a lot less than that, and we're getting Metallica.
Okay, and, now let's play the game in between here, because Pantera is only playing one show a week.
Right.
So they're going to announce a tour that's going to fill in these cities. They're going to play Philly. They're going to play Cleveland or Columbus. They're going to play somewhere in Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to play somewhere in Indianapolis, I would imagine, right?
Something, yeah.
Are you going? I'll $250 a ticket. $250 a ticket, Pantera only.
$250 one ticket. Oh, that's a lot. Now that I've got my like bar set,
now that you've spent your Metallica money.
Yeah, now that I've spent, you know, the money on this, I'm kind of looking at the dates here. Louder Than Life is typically like September 27th ish.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got you know, St. Louis is November 3rd. So that's like the, what, the weekend before September, October? No, I'm sorry. I'm way off. I'm like a month off. I'm doing some Chris Aiken math over here.
There you go.
But yeah, I think that the festival, the Danny Wimmer festivals are still on the table.
I think so too. Yeah.
You know, judging by the locations of these shows, I think the radius clauses and everything else will open up for the, you know, the Danny Wimmer type festivals and even, you know, whatever, sure. Maybe, you know, if Knotfest is going to do some US shows this year, things like that, which I don't think Slipknot's doing the US in 2023.
I know this. They didn't build this big ass stage that they just trotted out to play three or four shows.
Right.
They built that to be on tour in the States somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking they're going to play big, might be summer sheds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me at all if they're doing the sheds in the summer.
Judging from the video you've seen now,
mm-hmm.
And the fan response, because I mean, even, you know, my friend Jeremy, who was staunch against this.
Yeah.
So against this, he's a Charlie Benante fan, like loves mm-hmm. Charlie Benante, loves Pantera.
Sure.
Did not want to support this at all. I've seen him posting positive things about this. So I'm like, so now that they've, you know, you've got some stuff on tape, you've got some stuff on video out there for people to see. Do you think this is going to do bigger numbers in the States and everywhere else than originally thought?
Oh yeah.
And big enough to where they're going to do the sheds, you know. I mean, I still think that they would need a strong opener.
I don't think so.
To do like what's like up there by like you, like Nautica or whatever, like
Nautica is like 5,000. No, like no. You're trying like Blossom Music Center. Blossom, like 18,000 people.
Yeah.
I think they would do a solid 13,000 to 14,000 people right now. Cleveland's always been a hotbed for Pantera mm-hmm. anyway. So I think if they announce it, they'll do 14,000 if they don't have any openers.
Yeah.
If they have a good opener, and I don't mean Wolfgang Van Halen.
No. What if it, well, looking at it, what if it's Pantera Five Finger Death Punch?
Sells out in a minute.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think, and if they try to wedge Five Finger on top of that bill, you are going to see Cleveland torn down.
Yeah, Cleveland will be on fire.
Cleveland will be blown up.
Like the whole, you know, when Five Finger takes out Megadeth, you're like, what the fuck, you know?
I think this has way more interest than Megadeth does.
What about a Pantera Megadeth tour? That would be fucking awesome.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah.
I've seen that before and it was great. Yeah. It was Megadeth, Pantera, and White Zombie. That was a good show.
Yeah.
Well, I would think that that's on the table, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think that would do well. I think if, as long as they have a decent opener mm-hmm. or no opener, they'll do well. I don't think if they wedge somebody that just buys on, that makes no sense, that I think that'll actually hurt.
Right.
Because those bands are going to get murdered. You're going to get a bunch of 40 and 50 year old guys that have that last little bit of angst that their wife hasn't beaten out of them that are looking to have that one last moment of pure aggression. And they're going to be wanting to get that aggression out. So, you know, you better not put some sorry ass, you know, band on because they're going to get killed.
Yeah. I think this definitely has to be, you know, reunited Biohazard, you know, something like that. Now
that would be great too. Or Sepultura or a band mm-hmm. like that. But please take at least one good new thrash band. Somebody, there gotta be somebody out there.
Yeah. I noticed on one of the YouTube comments on the Knotfest page, people were talking about, you know, I wish Metallica would have taken out a up and coming hardcore band or something. You know, not Pantera, not Five Finger Death Punch. I mean, Ice Nine Kills, I mean, you know, they've been getting a lot of Metallica love. You know, this isn't the first time they've opened for them lately. So, I mean, it seems like maybe the Metallica camp's enjoying those guys. Obviously, Wolfie's kind of a anomaly because he's a Van Halen. I mean, I get that he's a new band, but he's also a Van Halen.
How much of the Wolfie thing, I think, and this is my completely uninformed thought, so you can tell me I'm full of shit if you want to. But I think the only reason Wolfie's on this is twofold. One, he's the media hot button right now. You know, all the media loves Wolfie and loves the record. And two, it's kind of that whole respect that Van Halen put the original Charvel in the casket of Dimebag. So yeah, it's almost like a payback to, well, we'll take his son out on tour because he has that heritage to Dimebag. Yeah. You know,
well, I mean, not that Five Finger is a new band, but I mean, in this world of where we kind of are, like, mm-hmm. It really is, you know, night one is Metallica, Pantera, Wolfie, Van Halen, who has the Van Halen tie. So the older dudes are mm-hmm. going to be like, oh, fuck, that's Eddie's kid. You know, and then night two is Five Finger and Ice Nine Kills, which is kind of again, Five Finger is not a new band, but they are still a newer band. And, and Ice Nine Kills is obviously a newer band, which, I mean, Ice Nine Kills has still been around for, God knows, 10, 15 years now, too. So, I mean, I do think that they're going to do a more classic set night one and a more modern set.
You think Metallica is?
Yeah, I think so.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
Because I will not be there. Yeah.
I am fine if they leave Bleeding Me and The Memory Remains and
Unforgiven Fixer, 3.
Yeah, and Unforgiven 3. Those songs can all go on night two. That's fine. Anything from Saint Anger, night two. Give us, you know what, for night one, just first three albums. You don't even have to go to Justice.
Yeah.
Just give us the first, just give us up to Master of Puppets. That would be good enough.
All right, man. Well, let's finish this up real quick with some recommendations. I got a couple of music and actually, I guess it's all music and then one kind of compilation thing I want to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
Your favorite dude, Chino Marino of Deftones, his other band, Crosses.
Yes.
They have a couple of singles out now, called One Sensation and One Vivian. And man, if you hate Deftones, you are going to hate Crosses. Because it's like Deftones without the heavy. And so, yeah, I thoroughly enjoy them. Chris Aiken probably will not.
Probably will never hear it.
good friend of the show, Jelly Roll, has a new song out called She, and he is diving right into that kind of country rap.
Sure.
That, you know, that's making him some money. And you know, it was kind of cool to see him at the CMAs on the red carpet. You know, he kind of posted about that. As we record this, I believe his show, he's playing the Bridgestone Arena, which is the hockey arena in Nashville.
Okay.
He sold that out, man. I'm you know,
nice.
As a dude from you know, shitty part of Nashville that was in and out of juvenile hall and all this other stuff, fucking amazing that he sold out Bridgestone Arena.
That's great.
And one last thing. Have you ever seen Wayne County Life on like Facebook and YouTube?
No, I'm not familiar.
It's a guy, he kind of does a bunch of character stuff. He's got Uncle Terry, he's got Dip, he's got Cody. You know, he's a very amazing comedic actor that's mainly just on YouTube and Facebook and things like that. But he goes by Wayne County Life. It's in Detroit. Okay. He did a Christmas album, and all of his characters were on it and kind of doing some stuff back and forth. And Matt Noss from Roach Coach actually produced it. Nice. So I'm like blown away. I'm like, even though he's just kind of like Facebook famous and like YouTube famous, I'm like, dude, Matt, that's awesome. Like hearing Matt on the Christmas album, you know, blew me away. But yeah, man, this Wayne County Life, everything he does cracks me up. And then he put together like a Christmas album that's fucking funny as fuck.
Nice. Well, I'm much simpler this week because I have nothing new to offer. Yeah. The only things I've been listening to this week is Pantera.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Pantera videos.
Yep, same here. A lot of YouTube Pantera and I think I've listened to all the albums at least once this week. Nice. And then the only other things that have snuck in, and they're not really new, but they're records that I think we both liked and forgot real fast. One was the Heathen, what is it called? The Great Heathen Army from Amon Amarth.
Right.
And then the other one is that Machine Head record.
Yeah.
It's back in my head again. And man, that record is great. That might be, I don't know what it is about Rob Flynn. He makes me want to hate his band. And then right when I want to quit, then he comes back with something amazing. And this is the Blackening or debut-ish.
Yeah.
That album is just great. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
I was going to bring this up off air, but since we're talking about maybe towards the end of the year, I'll definitely need to do like a top five, top 10 episode of the year kind of thing. So be thinking about that. Right. And just quickly on football, then I'll let you go, because I know you got to go watch some wrestling. how was the debut of Deshaun Watson? I haven't seen
it. He sucked. He sucked. He threw half his passes right into the ground.
Yeah.
But I don't know what people expected.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in 2 years. So of course he's not going to be good. And he wasn't, you know, and whatever. And thank you, Baker Mayfield, for getting cut, so we didn't have to hear it so bad on the national media. Yeah. You know, but he'll be fine. Again, I think people were really, you know, overblowing thinking he was going to come in and throw for 5 touchdowns and 800 yards in his first game. And man, the guy hasn't played in 2 years. I don't care what you do. You know, dude, in your job, if you tried to do it after 2 years away, you'd probably show up at the wrong houses half of the things.
Yeah.
You know, so you gotta give him a little time, but he sucked, but they won. So whatever, we'll take the win.
Yeah. Yeah. The Titans got absolutely ass handed to them by the Eagles. And
I wasn't going
to
mention that.
No. And like, it's funny, man. Like Eagles, I obviously on my Facebook, I've got, you know, friends and fans around the country or whatnot. So all the Eagles fans are like, I bet the Titans are regretting that AJ Brown trade now. And I'm like, I regretted it the moment it happened. And everybody's like, oh, he played like he had a grudge. I was like, no, that's just how he plays. Like,
he's good.
He's really good. You know? Yeah. And so basically I think that was the camel that broke the straws back there. Made our GM got fired, you know, 2 days ago because of, you know, everything kind of going on. And I'm wish nothing but the best for John Robinson, former Titans general manager now. He definitely came in, you know, we were 5-27 the 2 years before he came in. We are like 2 wins away from our 7th consecutive winning season, you know, since he's been around. But I still say that, man, give Mike Vrabel an actual squad and just watch out, you know, because, you know, Robinson was good at finding kind of those diamond in the rough players, you know, the undrafted free agent rookie out of Sam Houston State or something like that. but his track record on first round picks and players getting second contracts and, you know, trading AJ Brown, just all this other stuff, man. Just kind of keeps kind of like the team is like right there, but it's like still has so much stuff to like overcome and just everything makes everything so much harder.
I don't know how he explains the AJ Brown trade.
I don't either, man.
You just don't trade away top 5 talent. And AJ Brown is I would say he's a top 5 receiver today. No, wouldn't you? Okay. I mean, if he's not, he's right there. He's in that spot.
I mean, I'll never forget draft night. You know, we picked late in the night, so it was like it was Thursday night or whatever. First round of that draft, and I'm like, I went to lay down in bed. I was like, I'm gonna lay down in bed. I'm gonna watch the end of the first half of the draft. And I was actually watching the Pat McAfee draft coverage on my phone.
Sure.
I had the draft on the TV. And then all of a sudden Pat McAfee was like, oh my God. He's like, they just traded AJ Brown. And I jumped up out of bed and I called my friend Troy. And I'm like, they fucking traded AJ Brown. I didn't sleep that night, you know, like and so like when Eagles fans are like, oh, I bet they regret that now. I'm like, no, we all knew that this was stupid when they did it.
Yeah. There weren't any fans that were like, yeah, great move.
Yeah. It also doesn't hurt that the Eagles took, you know, Treylon Burks got a touchdown pass, the guy that we drafted to kind of take his place, and catches a touchdown pass and immediately gets a concussion.
So. Yeah. Oh, that sucks. Well, dude, there's always the XFL. They announced they announced their dates, and you and I are going to have to pick some teams, make our hat bet again.
Can't wait. I guess the USFL, the Tampa Bay team is moving to Memphis.
I think what difference does it make? They all play in one place.
I heard this year, I think they're going to play in Birmingham and Memphis this year. I don't really know what that means, but
what, that's gonna... dumb. Put them in their cities so that they can get some love from their cities. Yeah, I did notice with the XFL. Yeah, the XFL, that they have three teams from Texas.
Nice.
They have like Houston, Dallas, and like San Antonio or something.
Right.
But they have three of the eight teams are in Texas. So I guess it's a Texas league.
Well, I mean, everything's bigger in Texas, man. That's just right. just like Pantera.
Yeah, I noticed The Rock got his name on one of the teams. So one of the teams is like the San Antonio Brahma Bulls.
Oh, nice. Oh, man. I guess, yeah, the other thing, I don't know if we talked about it or not, but the Metallica date in Arlington is on Dimebag's birthday. So
that, wow. Wonder if that'll be a little wild.
That would be fun. I saw Pantera on Dimebag's birthday in Houston one year, and that was, he came out with a crown on his head.
Nice.
it was a good time, man. But, well, I guess that will do it for another episode of Talk To Me here on NotFest.com. So make sure you are rating, reviewing, all that good stuff with the show. Make sure to share with your friends. And so for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey.
I am not Dimebag Daryl.
No, you are not.
No.
And we will talk to you soon.
See ya.
The Talk To Me podcast presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.